tomorrow's news today.
I want to bring out our next guest. Let me just say, we had a little trouble finding an arena that would take him because he's so controversial. And I'm grateful to where we are right now and to the people of Pennsylvania. But let me just say, Alex Jones is one of those people you're supposed to be very shocked by. Here's the one fact about Alex Jones that I can't get over. Alex Jones predicted 9/11. And he did so on tape. Now, I worked in television my whole life. When you're on TV, there's a timestamp. We don't need to guess. I'm on TV for decades saying super dumb things, which live forever on YouTube. Alex Jones, in the summer of 2001, said, you need to call the White House right now because planes are going to hit the World Trade Center and they're going to blame it on Osama bin Laden. He said that. I've seen the tape. You can look it up. So, no, check this out. So I lived in D.C. at the time. Trust me. I had a daily news show on another channel. Not one person was saying anything like that. So Alex Jones says that it's on tape. We can prove he said that. It happens. Why did the U.S. government call Alex Jones and say, how could you have known? Clearly you're a prophet of some kind. We need you in this global war on terror because clearly you can see things that nobody else can see. That's incredible. Have you even met anybody who's predicted something like that? No, you haven't. Like, I've never met anyone. I met everybody. I've never met anybody who did anything like that. But instead of celebrating Alex Jones for making the most unbelievable call in the history of the news business, they said about the FBI sets about trying to destroy him. And so begins this incredible saga of lies about Alex Jones, which you probably all heard about. I'm not going to relitigate it, but that was the FBI that did that. And they try to bankrupt Alex Jones. They try to put Alex Jones in prison. Why would you put the guy who called that in prison? This guy is clearly on the side of the United States. He's trying to help our country. So that fact, if there's only one thing you know about Alex, everything I said is 100% true, by the way. I'm not guessing, but this is fact. If there's one thing to know about Alex Jones, it's that. And on the basis of that, I will always believe and I will always say in public that Alex Jones is the most extraordinary person I've ever met. And so I am proud to have him. Not having him here because it's like naughty. Ooh, Alex Jones. It's like, no. I'm proud to know Alex Jones. I'm proud to know the person who tried to warn the country about the worst terror attack in history and was persecuted for it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, Alex Jones.
For 30 years, every single day of his campaign career.
For the war peacefully with information against the globalists. The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock.
Yeah!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
You know, Alex, the real world.
First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to Whole Foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world, a daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must, and we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are on this Tuesday, September 24th, 2024, live transmission of the Alex Jones Show. With 41 days, 14 hours, and 53 minutes until Election Day. We will, I expect, be hearing from Alex before the end of the transmission. He is en route to Austin when he will be making his presence here known. Is an unknown right now, but I do expect we will hear from him. We also have guests coming up today. Mike Adams with breaking news and Kirk Elliott on the state of the economy as well. But we have some breaking news as we go live. And the second assassination attempt of Donald Trump was already going to be my lead with some of the developments around that and how there's this big elephant in the room right now in American politics that everybody wants to ignore, which is, of course, the fact that you have an American government left media syndicate that is trying to get Trump assassinated. That's the big elephant in the room. That's the big goblin drooling and gnawing on himself over in the corner. And we just act like things are normal. Now, this just is kind of part of the larger picture of the government corruption, part of the larger picture of our occupied government, part of the larger picture of our stolen country. And now, this is just breaking. Trump assassination attempt suspect Ryan Routh's son arrested on child porn charges after feds find hundreds of sick images. New York Post headline. Trump assassin Ryan Routh's son, Oren, arrested after hundreds of child pornography files found at his home. ABC News. Son of Ryan Routh accused in Trump assassination attempt, arrested for child pornography. So what's going on with this? The son of Ryan Routh, the man arrested in connection with the second apparent assassination attempt, second apparent assassination attempt. You know what? See this ABC News story? Let's try reading from the New York Post. How about that? Apparent assassination attempt. Give me a break. The son of alleged would-be Trump assassin Ryan Routh was arrested Tuesday morning on child pornography charges after the feds found hundreds of sick images when they searched his phone following his dad's arrest. So they went in and searched his phone, and he had these images on his phone. Now, this is the same son that came to his father's defense, said, oh, my dad's a reasonable man. There's one look at the guy. Yeah. Now, remember, it was the brother of the Las Vegas shooter. I believe he was arrested on child porn charges after an investigation into Paddock. And they eventually just dropped the charges. Remember, it was Cheryl Atkinson who said that the feds tried to plant child pornography on her, the Obama administration. She made that claim. Now, you've also heard that Alex Jones, they've tried to set him up with similar things. So I'm not saying these things are connected, but it is odd. It is odd. So does this just show that this family is deranged? Is there something else going on here? But this breaking, the son now of the would-be assassin arrested on child porn charges. And that's his mugshot. I mean, it's fair to say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in this deal. But putting that breaking news aside, Donald Trump had a rally last night, a big rally in Pennsylvania. You've got to give him credit. Love him or hate him, the brass balls on this guy can be seen from space. You have the American media. You have the corrupt, occupied U.S. government. You have your Democrat voters all trying to have Donald Trump assassinated. And this guy continues to go to public speaking events. And he doesn't plan on stopping. You've got to admire the brass balls. And that's what's going on here. That's what's going on here. Now, I don't expect the American media, which is the Kill Trump media, that's what they are now. They've gone from the fake news media to the Kill Trump media. So I don't expect the Kill Trump media to talk about this. You just saw how ABC News was framing this. So the Kill Trump media, they're not going to talk about this. They're not going to be honest about this. Don't expect it to. The Democrat Party, they'd love to see Trump dead. They might not say it, but I mean, please, after two assassination attempts in unison, instead of changing their rhetoric, they all come out while Congress is in session, and they all come out during their media bits, and they all say, yes, Trump is the biggest threat. Trump is the biggest danger. Trump must be stopped. They want Trump dead. I don't expect them to say anything about it. Now, thank goodness we have a healthy, independent, alternative media thriving because of Rumble and X. But you know they're trying to shut this show down. You know that if the Democrats get four more years in the White House and Congress, X is going to be done. Rumble is going to be done. So thanks to the emergence of Rumble and the reemergence now of formerly Twitter and X, now X, we do have a thriving, independent, alternative media that's talking about this. But where are the Republicans? Where is the Republican leadership? We know where. Mike Johnson is cutting deals with the Democrats and Chuck Schumer to pass a government spending bill, and he can't even get the SAVE Act included in it. So where is Mike Johnson as the Kill Trump media, the Democrats, and Democrat voters are trying to have Donald Trump assassinated? He's cutting deals with the Democrats to fund the government, and he won't even get citizenship as a requirement to vote in our election. That's where Mike Johnson is at today. That's what Mike Johnson is doing. your Republican leadership in the House. What about Mitch McConnell? Well, Mitch McConnell's been a disappearing act. This guy is about on the same level as Joe Biden, maybe worse, as far as the cognitive abilities, the brain function, the energy. Mitch McConnell actually might be worse off than Joe Biden. This guy can probably walk and talk less than Joe Biden. By the way, Joe Biden set to address the UN, his final address as the president to the UN. We'll be following that. Mitch McConnell pops out of nowhere. This week, Mitch McConnell crawls out of his hole. Do you know what Mitch McConnell is doing? He's pushing for more aid for Israel and Ukraine. That's what Mitch McConnell is doing. So where is Republican leadership as the corrupt U.S. government is trying to get Donald Trump assassinated, as the corrupt U.S. media is trying to get Donald Trump assassinated, as Democrat voters are calling into talk shows saying somebody's got to kill this guy, Democrat Hollywood actors saying, when was the last time an actor assassinated the president? And your Republican leadership is pushing for government spending bills with no SAVE Act and funding Ukraine and Israel. How pathetic is that? So the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about, the elephant in the room that everybody can see. In fact, at this point, it's not just the elephant in the room. After two assassination attempts, the cover-up thereof and the involvement in trying to have the assassination of Donald Trump, it's not just an elephant in the room. This elephant has taken two massive dumps, steaming piles of elephant dung, sitting there in the room, stinking it up, and nobody wants to talk about it. Trump slams Harris-Biden administration for mishandling and downplaying second assassination attempt, calls for Florida to take over an investigation. The whole media is downplaying it. The entire Congress is downplaying it. Maybe we should rephrase that. 90% of Congress is downplaying it. There are some that are making a big deal of this and not giving it up. 90% of the American media is downplaying it, probably even internally celebrating it. How is this not a bigger story? Would-be Trump assassin Ryan Routh had list of Trump rallies, event dates from August to October. Somebody was giving him intelligence. And look, I don't take everything from the U.S. government, the federal government, or the U.S. mainstream media at face value. But now Iran has been accused of hacking the Trump campaign. Iran has also been accused of hacking personal messages in Sweden, and they're calling for Swedes who were burning the Quran to be eliminated, basically. So think what you want about that. I'm just saying, Iran now, they got all these accusations against Iran, and look, I'm not looking for a war with Iran. Certainly there are groups that want that, politicians that want that. Israel would love that. Iran's coming out. Their leaders have come out and said, we don't want war. That's what they said at the UN assembly. I'm not telling you to take anything at face value. But somebody is giving, or was giving, Routh information. There is either a leaker in the federal government or a mole inside of Trump's inner circle. I mean, that is 99.99999% a guarantee. And by the way, no, Routh was not trying to do assassination by police officer. He was not trying to do suicide by police officer. He was planning to go to Mexico. They found plans for him to escape to Mexico. That's probably why he left and got on the highway. Maybe he thought he was going to make it to Mexico. Maybe somebody told him to go there. Maybe he was going to meet somebody there. How is this not a bigger story? How is it that Senator Mitch McConnell is going to tell the American people to fund Israel and Ukraine when this is the state of our government and this is the state of our media and this is the state of the Democrat Party? How do you have Mike Johnson cutting deals with the Democrats to fund the government and won't even get the SAVE Act involved when this is the state of our media, this is the state of our government, this is the state of the Democrat Party? It's pathetic. So what's the larger story? It's the same story. It's the same reason why we supported Trump. It's the same reason why they continue to persecute Trump in the justice system. It's the same reason why the media lies about Trump for more than 8 years. We have a corrupt government, and that doesn't even... that doesn't even come close to describing how evil and corrupt it actually is. I'm not even sure there are words at this point. It's an occupied government. It's a corrupt government. It's an evil government. It's an illegal government. It's a stolen government. And the media, the mainstream media, is their propaganda arm. 3-on-1 against Trump in a debate. Fake Russian collusion. Hunter Biden laptop isn't real. I mean, you can go on and on and on. The koi pond fish hoax. Just hoax after hoax after hoax after hoax after lie after lie after lie after lie. And we don't even talk about it. The Republican Party doesn't even talk about it. The mainstream media is part of it. And they're trying to kill the one man who's standing up against it at the highest levels. They're trying to kill the one man who can actually get into a position of political power to do something about it. The leader of the Republican Party. And we get nothing. The Biden-Harris regime is openly advertising a $150,000 hit on President Trump. Yeah, why would they put out this letter from the would-be assassin that says, hey, anybody that kills him gets 150 grand. Why would they put that out? Because they want him dead. Do you get it? Would-be Trump assassin was quoting Biden and Harris and the media, chapter and verse. Can you imagine if the roles were reversed? Can you imagine if there was a would-be, God forbid, assassin on the other side, or even some false flag, more likely, if it was the case, and they had Trump books and Trump quotes and Trump posts? Oh my gosh, it'd be the number one story. It'd be the number two story. It'd be the number three story. It'd be the number four story. It'd be the lead. It'd be the close. It'd be the everything. Everything. But they're all in on this. They're all trying to kill Donald Trump. And we can't even be honest about it. We can't even have a conversation about it. We can't even get an investigation about it. And then the man himself continues to do rallies in front of tens of thousands of people, unfazed. Unfazed. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle up. Because the next 42 days are going to be bonkers. And then whatever it is, the amount of days after that, I guess it's like 90 days from the election to the inauguration. Huh. Buckle up. So it's 117 days till the inauguration. 42 days till the election. I mean, holy smokes. You have an active campaign and operation to have Donald Trump assassinated. The Republicans won't even talk about it. The media is part of it. You have Russia threatening nuclear war over NATO and Ukraine expansion. You have Israel. I don't know. I guess they're just going to decide they're going to try to take over Lebanon now. So I guess Israel is going for the Gaza Strip and Lebanon now is what it appears to be. And our government supports all that, by the way. Our government supports all that. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle up. And by the way, I guess, has Biden already concluded his speech? The headlines are already live. Biden slurs and fumbles and blurs his way through the UN speech, his final UN speech. Is anybody surprised? Is anybody surprised by that? That Biden can barely talk? He doesn't even care anymore. He's not even trying anymore. He's given up. The Democrats ran a coup on Joe Biden, and so he said, fine, I'm out. Whatever. Do whatever you want. Have Kamala Harris F off. I'll show up when I need to show up just to have some sort of a legacy when I leave, but I'm done. I'm done. F all you people, I'm done. That's basically Biden's message. Yesterday, he shows up for the press conference before the UN thing. His teleprompter breaks, and he just starts screaming. And he's like, he can't even do his introduction. His teleprompter breaks, and he goes, all right, well, okay, who am I introducing then? Who's up? Who am I introducing? Screams at his staff, who's next? Who's next? And then Modi has to go up there, the prime minister, maybe he has to go up there and kind of like calm him down and console him and rub his back and be like, it's okay, Joe, it's okay. And then finally somebody picks up the mic and says, and now introducing. So Biden blurring his way through the UN. And so there is no leadership in the West. There is no leadership in the Biden-Harris campaign. I mean, you've got these twinks like Blinken and Sullivan that are running around doing foreign diplomacy. They're nothings. Nobody takes them seriously. Call up the White House. Joe Biden there? No, he's sleeping. Call up the White House. Kamala Harris there? No, she's campaigning. Joe Biden can't even show up. Yesterday, Middle Eastern leaders were there to meet with Joe Biden in the Oval Office. He no-shows. So then Kamala Harris has to go out there and meet the Middle Eastern Islamic leaders. How do you think they feel about talking to a woman, by the way? How do you think they felt leaving that meeting? How do you think that went for them? Sending a woman to represent Joe Biden in Oval Office meetings with Islamic leaders? Yeah. Okay. Sure, that went well. This is the dire straits that our country is in. The whole future of the country, the planet, hangs in the balance. Now, I'll say this as we go to break. Rest assured, God is in control. I have no doubt about that. And everything will go down exactly how God intends it. But God, the Creator, does not intend for us to be sitting on the sidelines. We have a role to play in this. So if we want to have a future for humanity, if we want to have a future for America, well, we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to fight for it, because the people that have stolen this country in the future are not just going to give it up, folks. They're not just going to give it up.
11 weeks ago, the U.S. Justice Department trustee assigned to my case, personal and business bankruptcy, ordered without a court order or any reason the doors of this facility shut. They lied and said it would just be for 3 days, and they admitted the security it would be for a month or permanently. The judge in Houston, Judge Lopez, had nothing to do with it. Then it hit the news they were going to close us. No judge's order, no nothing, just the Justice Department, who'd been involved in the case harassing me from the beginning for over a year and a half. People were blown away by it. I refused to go along with it. I said I'd call the police on them. They didn't have any orders. They backed down. Then they went to court 2 weeks later and said, we want him removed. The judge listened to him and said, you're all fired. The CRO, who'd been appointed by the court, and the Justice Department appointed person that the court had let into it. And they had a Justice Department committee, all this stuff. Now, I'm in personal bankruptcy. I agreed to sell the assets of Free Speech Systems, the website, the shopping cart, the equipment. And there was going to be an auction on the 24th of October. Then they moved to the 30th. The Democratic Party running all this, the FBI, CIA, it's all come out in the news. Didn't want that. They want me off the air by early November. This is in the court filings. They said, we don't want money. Want him shut down. And the judge said, no, it's gonna sell. There's buyers out there that are patriots that I'd work with. They'd have to outbid that. They don't want to do that. So they announced, and I knew this 2 days ago and hadn't announced it yet. It hit Bloomberg, AP, Reuters. We'll put Bloomberg up. That the Justice Department is intervening. Alex Jones bankruptcy trustee sale efforts challenged by DOJ. They rarely get involved in bankruptcies, but they got involved in mine. They're unable, through just pure vigilantism, to shut us down 11, 12 weeks ago. Got egg on their face, and now they've come back. They want us shut down and just close and don't even let them sell the assets. You heard that. So it's a gamble, but we were doing it. Only move we had left. And they obviously got our phones tapped and stuff and know some bettors coming. Okay, they're going to have an issue on their hands. And they don't want to do that. They've got big billionaire backers, they claim. They've even told that in the court. We'll see what happens. Alex Jones bankruptcy trustee sale efforts challenged by DOJ. That's because they're getting ready to try to take Trump out. And once he's president-elect, they don't want us on air during that fight. They don't want us telling the truth. We're reaching tens of millions conservatively a day. Some days 50, 60 million now. I can't do this without funding. I'm out of money. They took all my money and it wasn't a lot during the bankruptcy. I am literally on empty myself. And I have to pay for the legal challenges of all this in court. And I have to fight them. And that's an hour-long story right there. They're trying to take my physical name and say they own it. Trying to take my social media. This is a critical fight. So I need you to go to the alexjonesstore.com. That's separate from free speech, but they're advertisers here. Big supporters. And get Alex Jones t-shirts, Patriot t-shirts. There's new great designs. We'll put some on screen for you. And go to the alexjonesstore.com and get the ball caps, the t-shirts, all of it. You get entered to win for the big pickup truck at $10,000 cash and all that. And then contest is over on the 30th of October, strangely enough. We need the funds. These are great t-shirts. I need your aid. Go to the alexjonesstore.com right now and support that sponsor. That's the critical place to support, the alexjonesstore.com. Stand with us and support our outside sponsor, DrJonesNaturals.com, and the InfoWars Store. The products are ready to ship. You'll get them. InfoWarsStore.com, the InfoWars MD, the gummies, the CBD tincture, the nitric boost. It's all there at InfoWarsStore.com. Now go now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Owen Schroyer. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Back live inside the InfoWars headquarters. And we're about to be joined by Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold, or call 720-605-3900 if you would like to get your assets, your cash, stored in something a little bit safer, considering the volatility of the dollar, of the banking systems. Gold could be the way to go. Kirk Elliott is your guy, KEPM.com/gold. Now, I'm bringing Kirk on here, and I was telling the crew to pull up some of the news out of the stock market today, gold prices, silver prices, but specifically the stock market. But Kirk, let's start it like this. The Fed announces the half-point rate cut last week. Obviously, the market responds. And, you know, there is a bit of honesty here when they say, well, inflation has cooled off, so we decided to cut the interest rates just a little bit. Now, politics usually comes into play here, too. I think that they're trying to help the Democrats, maybe more specifically Biden Harris or Kamala Harris's campaign for president. I think there's no doubt about that. But inflation has cooled down. Here's the big lie. inflation is up 20% and it's basically just held there. So it's not like it's cooled down. It hasn't gone down. It's just it's gone up and then it stayed up. And so they're saying, oh, we're cutting rates because it's cooled off. So it's like partially honest in that it's held, but it's also dishonest in that it's cooled off and it's probably a political move. So I want to get your comments on that now that we're kind of almost a week into this and the markets have had a bit of a response.
Yeah, I mean, this was very interesting because the Fed has a dilemma. So the Fed's dilemma is this. Do we go into the election with a recession or do we try to stimulate the economy somewhat prior, right? So that's basically what they had to do. So what you just said, I think they are very political, even though they say they're independent, they're not political, they're very political, right? So a 50 basis point reduction or half a point signaled something to the world. And that is, oof, this economy is really sick. They needed to robustly lower interest rates to try to stave off a massive recession, right? That's what a 50 basis point rate cut does. And so this is where Fed Governor Bauman, who was the only lone dissenter of this rate cut moves, why did she say that this wasn't a good idea? Well, because she says it signals to the world that actually the economy is pretty sick and they needed to do an aggressive rate cut to try to stimulate it, which basically flies in the face of them saying, we've tackled inflation. It's cooled off. We're doing okay. Wages are okay. Unemployment is not really this big of an issue as we thought it was, right? We're winning. Well, a 50 basis point rate cut doesn't signal that they're winning. So when you look back throughout history, whenever we've had this 50 point like rate cut to start a series of rate cuts, when were the last two big times that this happened? One was in 2000. And one was in 2007. Well, what happened both times? Well, we all know what happened in 2008, 2009. It was ugly. We know what happened in 2000 as well. It was a tech stock bubble, an 80% correction. So a recession followed. Whenever you start a rate cut reduction series, like Jerome Powell said they're going to do, with 50 basis points, they don't get a soft landing. So for all the viewers who, what is a soft landing? What is Jerome Powell talking about? A soft landing simply means they're trying to avoid a recession. Well, five out of the last six times, they didn't get a soft landing. We went headlong into a recession. Well, this is what they're trying to avoid. Well, we called it, Owen, on Alex's show couple weeks ago. So the morning of the rate reduction, we said they're going to do 50 basis points. They have to. They're going to try to do whatever they can do to avoid a recession. But the rest of the world thought, it's going to be about a quarter, right? I didn't think that it was. Well, why did I think that? Because they can't go into the election with the R word. They can't go in with a recession. So they're going to do everything they can do. But this signifies that the economy is sick. So if it were really healthy, if unemployment were not a problem, if they tackled inflation, it's like this. It's like going to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, you're healthy, but we're going to give you medicine anyways, right? So it doesn't make sense. It doesn't work that way, right? So things are really happening in an ugly direction for the economy. You know, a couple of things that would signify that are savings rates. Savings rates are now negative. It's like, how in the world can you have a negative savings rate? We've only had this twice, literally twice, since 1947. One was in 2008. One was in 2020. What was 2020? It was COVID. Nobody was working. People were digging into their savings, and it went negative. 2008, 2009, we know what happened back then. We've got negative savings rate again, which means people aren't just not saving. They're digging into their credit card and, you know, lines of credit. They're digging into their home equity lines of credit. It's negative. This is not good for the economy. And this is why, Owen, that what they're doing is simply not going to work. So let me paint this little quick picture. It's taking me a minute. But if you had zero debt, Owen, who cares if interest rates hit 20 or 30%? If you don't have any debt, you don't have any payments, it doesn't matter where the interest rates go. The flip side of that coin is also true. You could put interest rates to zero to stimulate the economy and cause people to spend and borrow. But if people are living hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck, and it doesn't matter if interest rates go to zero, they're not going to spend. So what did they just do? What they just did is they said, okay, we know that inflation, wink, wink, hasn't actually been tackled yet, but we're going to lower interest rates to pretend like we're going to stimulate the economy, but it's not going to have the net result that they're hoping for, because I don't care if interest rates go to zero. People don't have enough money to actually spend extra because of Biden's horrible economic plan for America. Bidenomics stinks, Owen. It stinks. And so therefore, it's not going to have the net effect. What it's going to do, and people will see this in time, is it's going to raise prices while the economy is still in recession. People aren't working. Wages are coming down. Unemployment is persisting. That stagflation, like we saw in the late 70s from Carter or in early 80s until Reagan fixed it, it's stagflation on steroids. Economy slowing down, people not working, prices going up. That is the worst policy nightmare for a politician ever, because it's a really difficult outcome. The only outcome, the only way to fix it is to jack up interest rates higher than the inflation rate. And the inflation rate unofficially today is around 15%, not 2, not their target goal, right? It's bad. This is a really bad scenario, but they're going to do everything they can do in an election year to trick people that they're winning.
Well, there's so much to unpack here, but I mean, the economic bomb that they basically lit off in this country, and I'm glad you closed like that, because really what they're saying with this rate cut, let's just pretend it's not a political move for a second, even though I'm sure there's a level of politics involved here. They're basically saying we're not serious about the debt. And of course they aren't. It's, you know, 35 trillion. It might as well be 400 gajillion at this point. So they're saying we don't really care. We're not serious about the debt. We're going to do something to maybe help the economy a little bit ahead of an election cycle. I mean, that's really what they're doing here. But the truth is the damage has already been done. I mean, we are, by definition, already have been in a recession since immediately, as soon as Biden got into the White House after a full fiscal year, we were in a recession. You could say we're in a slight depression. I think that would be fair too. And when you talk about savings rates, there's another factor that plays in here as well. And a lot of Americans are realizing this. If you have money in the bank, it's losing value. It's losing value at a much quicker rate than it has before. And so people are either trying to get into markets, maybe they're trying to get into the asset column, they're trying to get into precious metals, like you recommend, because they realize having money in the bank is actually depreciating in value because of this inflation. But I want to get into the housing market coming up. But a couple of billionaires came out and they said, because they can see the trends, they see where it's going, and they're billionaires for a reason, they're smart with money. They said, if Kamala Harris gets in, I'm pulling all my money from the markets, not just because maybe they anticipate a market crash, maybe they anticipate the unrealized capital gains tax that she's proposing. Whatever the reason, if some of these big billionaires or even hedge fund managers decide they're going to pull their money from the markets, I don't think people realize what that means. Now, it might not affect you if you're listening to this, if you're not in the stock market or other things, but it will have a major impact on the larger economy. So break that down for people. When a lot of these billionaires that are just economy people, they're not political people, they're just financial people, they don't talk politics, and they say, hey, look, I'm pulling out. I'm done. Everything's going to crash if Harris gets in. I'm pulling out. Yeah. What does that mean for the average American?
Well, you have to realize these billionaires, you might like their politics, you might not. Who cares? They're smart investors, right? And what we know about them is they're in it for themselves. They're not going to do something that's going to harm their portfolio. They're going to do something that's good for their portfolio. So when you've got people like Paulson, you've got people like Warren Buffett, you've got people like Jamie Dimon at JP Morgan Chase saying, these markets are going to fail. So, well, let's take Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has sold $7 billion worth of Bank of America shares since July, right? It's like, what? If he thought that the banking sector was going to do well, not only would he not sell them, he would keep them. He would probably add to that position. Well, he's not. Why? Because he doesn't see Bidenomics, which he's, you know, been a supporter of Biden forever. It's like he even thinks Bidenomics stinks. Because why do banks fail? Because they're undercapitalized, because their investments go bad. They have more withdrawals than they have inflows going in, right? So he's getting out of Dodge, right? Paulson said, he didn't just say he's getting out of the markets. He says he's getting out of the markets and he's going into gold. So these billionaires are doing something that's tangible and real, wanting to get out of something that they see as collapsing. Well, why do markets collapse? Because they run out of money. They become undercapitalized. I don't care if it's real estate, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, gold, silver, oil, gas. When there's not enough money to buy the goods that they are producing, well, then it starts to crash. Well, that's what they're seeing as the economy as a whole. So I would look at what they're doing. Again, don't look at their politics. Look at what they're doing because they're in it for self-preservation. Right. And all of these billionaires are thinking, this doesn't look so hot. Right. We're getting out of Dodge. And I think we should follow suit. Now, it's not just billionaires that are doing that. Central banks around the world are doing the same thing. Central banks print money. Well, what are they accumulating? Like there's nobody's business. They're accumulating gold. What are they getting rid of? U.S. treasuries like it's yesterday's garbage. They're getting rid of treasuries. They're buying gold. Poland last month was the largest purchaser of gold in the world. India has a massive influx of gold going into its system. And why? Why is this? Right? Well, because they don't see that the global economy is healthy. They see a change in the banking system as we know it. And when you look at the unrealized losses, this is insane, Owen. When you look at the unrealized losses that banks have on their balance sheets, it's seven times worse than it was in 2008 on the last crisis that we had. Seven times worse. We're not talking about something small here. Because in 2008, 2009, the markets came down about 40%. They have unrealized losses that are seven times that right now. And this is why I think the billionaires are looking to get out of Dodge. They're doing something that's tangible, that's real, that brings them to a point of safety because they're in this for self-preservation.
Well, I try to look at the real life things. I mean, I read enough and listen to enough news. I can sound financially wonky, but I don't really, I'm not really the financial guy. I don't really like getting into the financial wonk. I look at it, okay, where is my price at the pump? Where is my grocery bill? Where is my energy bill? Another important one, I think, is the housing market. And I think that this is probably the best way for the average American, and maybe they've gone through this, they've seen this themselves, or for them to kind of understand where the larger economy is at. You know, owning a home is it's a big goal. It's part of the American dream, owning your home or being able to get into the housing market. And I like following real estate prices just because it's fun and it's interesting to me. And you never know when you might want to move. And so you want to be informed when you make that decision. And I'm looking at a situation in Austin, and I'm sure it's like this everywhere, where basically the house that I have now, I could move out of the house that I have now, move into a house of the same value virtually, have a larger down payment, like let's say double even, more, I think triple even. I could have a much larger down payment than I made on the house that I have now for a house of the same value. And I would be paying more. I would be paying more in my interest rates. I would be paying more in my monthly mortgage. And so that's like the larger story here. There's no upward mobility in this economy. That's you want to talk about stagflation. That's it. That's it right there. And I think a lot of people are looking at this now, and this is all by design. There's a reason why it's turning into a renter's economy. Because people look at these numbers and they look at how much they're paying in taxes or interest rates, and it basically negates the payments on a monthly basis. Then you say, well, what about the equity? Okay, well, let's apply that. Well, your equity gets nullified because of the interest rates, too. I mean, so you want to talk about what is stagflation? I mean, that's it right there. No upward mobility when you are trying to get into the asset column, or more specifically, get into the housing market, get some equity, make some down payments, get your next house, whatever, and it just, boom, you can't move upward.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I think that was a brilliant thing to say, because people are stuck. Stagflation is basically people are stuck. There's no options. So, like, for example, our office building that we own here in Denver, we purchased it 2 years ago. If I were to sell it today, I'm not in interest in selling it. We have an amazing team and we have an amazing company. But I talked to a realtor friend of mine just to get the pulse, like you do. And I said, hey, what would it be if we tried to sell our office building? Oh, it's like down 50%. I said, down 50% in 2 years? What about the, it's like, is that just my area of downtown Denver? So no, that's Denver as a whole. I said, well, what about residential real estate? It's like, yeah, I don't know about that. I'm a commercial guy. So I asked a residential real estate, you know, person, you know what? We're seeing prices come down like good grief. $1 million houses are coming down a couple hundred thousand, like 20% reductions just in the last couple of months. People need to get out because their wages are down. And yet if they were to sell, they can't get into anything that's any better because by the interest rates are so much higher than when they purchased. This is stagflation as a core. So China, for example, going through the same thing that we are, their economy is in a huge depressive state. So what did they just decide to do this morning, Owen? This morning, they're doing a 500 billion yuan stimulus. They're reducing everyone's mortgage rates that they're paying by 0.5%. They're lowering the reserve requirement at banks so banks can lend out more money. It is the biggest governmental stimulus program in the history of the world, and China's tanking. Well, all of these things, what does that say to one of the world's largest economies? It means inflation is coming because everything, you know, injecting 500 billion yuan into the system.
Well, geez, I mean, that's just crazy. I didn't even hear about that. That's pretty big news. So wait, so then who's in worse state than China or us?
I mean, we're both the same.
That's crazy.
It's abysmal. I mean, wait till you look at the news. I mean, it all started coming out 30 minutes ago. You've been on the air. So this is all coming out. What happened since it came out? Silver's up well over a dollar. It's up to over $32 an ounce. Gold is soaring. You know, when we look at what China is doing to stimulate the economy, I mean, a 0.5 billion yuan stimulus, lowering everybody's interest rates 0.5 point, reducing the reserve requirements to force banks to lend out more money. This is inflation at its core. And so for the stupid Biden-Harris, you know, ticket or whatever you want to call it, their current administration, and then Harris going into it thinking, we've won this battle against inflation. It's like, oh my word, you've got another thing coming. Inflation, we haven't even seen the beginning of it yet. And now, Owen, I was watching your first part of the show before I came on. When you've got wars all over the world, it's not necessarily that we're in World War III, but we're in a world at war, right? When you've got Middle East conflict and Russia and Ukraine and China and Taiwan, and then you've got economic warfare between countries. And India just cut out on the biggest trade deal in the world with China because they said they're not opaque with their economic policies and we don't trust them. It's like, what? Is this a fracturing of the BRICS nations? Is India really going to pull away from China? And why in the world are they one of the largest importers of gold over the last months? What's going on here? It's conflict. It's economic warfare. It's political warfare. It's geopolitical warfare. All of this strikes fear into the hearts and minds of people. And this is causing metals prices, but really a function of China's moves this morning. Silver up over dollar. Look, silver's up over 4% this morning alone, literally, just today. And people are saying, the foundations around us are eroding. We're afraid of the stock market collapsing. What are we going to do? It's like reallocate into safety. I mean, when the foundations are eroding, this is when precious metals, something that's real, tend to do really, really well. And we're seeing that play out right underneath our nose today.
Well, and look, I'm not calling for the suffering of the Chinese people here. I don't want them to have an economic collapse. But it, when you look at it, really, it puts, if we had a smart leader, like, I don't know, maybe Donald Trump, I mean, it puts us in such a strong negotiation position with China right now. Because, I mean, if we stop manufacturing goods there, if we put tariffs on goods that are coming in, I mean, China has no choice. I mean, China is basically going to have to do whatever the hell we want in a negotiation like that. But right now, we've got an empty White House, so they're not going to take advantage.
They're not going to take advantage. And the Harris campaign is saying that Donald Trump's idea of taxing, you know, putting tariffs and excise taxes on foreign goods is stupid. And it's going to cause prices to go up and Americans are going to hurt because of it. It's like temporarily, for a brief moment in time. Sure, I could follow that theory. But you know what happens? When foreign goods are more expensive because there's tariffs on them, that ultimately hurts those countries that are impacting America negatively. And it's going to be a net positive because people are going to buy American.
Well, it's when Kirk Elliott goes to the gym.
They're going to buy American.
When Kirk Elliott goes to the gym and bench presses 300 pounds, there's a little pain there, but then he gets stronger afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. That it's the same principle. And jobs always follow manufacturing. So if we're producing stuff that people want to buy because it's less expensive because there's tariffs on foreign goods, jobs are going to come back. When jobs come back, people spend more money. Government revenues go up, sales tax revenues, income tax revenues, property tax revenues. It's like, oh, wait, Kirk, there's not going to be any income tax because Trump wants to obliterate it and go with tariffs. It's like, sweet, that even doubles the deal in an amazing way. Yeah. So Trump's got an amazing plan, and we better hope and pray that Harris does not win, because if she does, it's the end of the republic economically. This is in a world where there's no guarantees, that's a guarantee.
Now, people really understand that, though. The more I talk to people that aren't even political, I mean, they just get that just from 4 years of Trump and then 4 years of the Democrats. Kirk Elliott, thank you for your time. KEPM.com/gold. If you do want to get into precious metals or put some of your savings in precious metals, something a little more stable right now, Kirk is your guy. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. Kirk, thank you for your time. We'll speak again soon.
My pleasure. See you, Alan.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be joined by Mike Adams coming up next. The big breaking news, and we got a lot of other stuff coming up.
I talk a lot about the high-quality supplements at InfoWarsStore.com and the great things they'll do for your health, your vitality, your stamina, your libido, your focus, your clarity. And I tend to talk about our best-selling products from InfoWars, MD, the Nitric Boost, the Turmeric 95, the amazing CBD gummies, and 1,000-milligram tincture. It's about as strong as it gets, highest quality. But these other products are excellent as well, and they're getting rave reviews. Let's talk about some of these other great products from InfoWars, MD, at InfoWarsStore.com. Superfood Greens, just a super high-quality equivalent to some of the best sellers that are out there. It's got a whole bunch of superfoods in it. You get everything you need in one big dose, with all the key cofactors and things that a basic vitamin mineral type system may not have in it. It is a superfood. We also, of course, have Good Night Sleep, just a good, high-quality, natural, herbal sleep system that gives you deep sleep that's so good for your immune system. But, of course, Nerve Renew helps your nerves be healthy and helps a lot with pain. People really, really love Nerve Review. Then we've got probiotic formula, an excellent probiotic. That's so critical to your health because just the chlorine in tap water, if you're drinking that or showering in it, you know, kills the natural flora in your gut. Better Mood really gives you a clean, focused mindset, just does amazing things. And then, of course, I'm really excited about ashwagandha with black pepper. This is an adaptogen, ashwagandha. Your brain, your heart, your mental clarity, your mood, your immune system. It just basically does everything. Ashwagandha is simply incredible. And then, of course, prostate support with the saw palmetto and more that's on record being so good for your prostate. These are just some of the products available at InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com, and your purchase funds the operation. So please do what thousands of others have done. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and check out the InfoWars MD line. Thank you for the support. Check out the products.